Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you
for your next adventure.
All right, guys, here we are. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to, we're going to go through episode 9 today, which is mentors, right?
Ooh, mentors.
Let's
awesome.
Talk about our mentors. We're going to first, though, go into some post-session notes where Laurel's going to impress us with all of her surf stories. And then we're going to move on over to Injustice of the Week. We talk about what's really getting under our skin. Then we're going to dive deeper.
Nice.
And start naming some of our mentors and talk about what they've contributed and make you start thinking about yours. And of course, after that, tread on over to some God waters.
Nice. And then we wrap it up with some homework.
Well, of course, who doesn't want that? All right. Post session notes, Laurel. Have you been in the water at all? What's going on?
Let's just say coming off of a Puerto Rico high where the water is 80 degrees along with the air temperature. And here we have had a nor'easter blowing for 2 weeks in our area.
It's cold here right now.
The water temp has dropped 10 degrees from 3 weeks ago, and it's cold. Matter of fact, I asked a friend, what should I wear tomorrow? He said booties and gloves, wetsuit booties and gloves. I'm like, no way am I putting on the stinking booties, and they do stink, and the gloves. So I noticed, and I think this is kind of weird. I'm in denial for one. I'm refusing, like the first little water trip I went in surfing on last Friday, I wore a spring suit that's short sleeves, short bottoms, but then I put a little top over it because I'm in denial. I wasn't ready to put on the full wetsuit.
But
I was cold as hell.
Why do you do that? You know you're going to be cold. You know it's going to suck. So why not just suit up properly so you can enjoy the sesh?
That's such a wise thing to say, Ashley. But let me tell you why.
Okay.
So when you put on the full suit, booties and gloves, do you know how much more weight you are dragging with you once it fills with water?
Well, I do free dive.
So you're familiar. But you're trying to go down. I'm trying to paddle distance. I think there's a difference. And I'm paddling and I'm lifting my arm.
At least you get to breathe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when we go from a small suit to a big one, there's a lot of drag. You have to wear weight.
Are you diving in cold water?
We do.
Ugh.
I'm not diving right now because I don't have to. I don't want to.
Cold water. No, no, no.
No, we do it though. Oh, in the quarry, it used to be about low 60s, upper 50s when we got deep.
Wow.
Which is extremely cold. Yeah.
I don't like it.
They put some aerators in there and it's not that bad anymore.
I think we've just hit 59. Water temp.
Ew.
And it was 40 some degrees outside, so
it's
the wind was blowing
too, yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot my little hoodie thingy,
man. That doesn't sound like fun at all.
It wasn't fun at all. Okay, so let's just go on to
We did schedule our first class of 2020.
Ooh, cool.
In the Florida Springs. So after Christmas, I'm diving nice. And I'm going to the springs.
I like it.
Yeah,
Florida sounds warm. All right, next up, we've got the injustice of the week. What's gotten your panties in a wad, Ashley?
Well, I want to be gentle with this topic because it has to do with a person that I really respect. But I want to just lay it out there.
Come on, let's be real.
I will. Ani, my daughter, and my son, but I'm talking specifically about my daughter,
who's in public school.
She's in public school for half the year. This is our first time trying it out. She'll be homeschooled after Christmas on the boat. Anyway, she eats healthy.
Yeah. Y'all okay. All eat healthy.
Well, so do y'all. But anyway, this isn't about patting each other, right?
Yeah.
When I send her with her lunchbox, there's always, for instance, okay, so yesterday she went to school with a little bowl of homemade stew.
Okay.
Soup.
Yeah.
A sandwich. Mm-hmm. For snack, she had
Snow peas.
Yeah, I didn't pack hummus this time. She doesn't always like hummus. And an apple. And that was her lunch, okay? And the other children around her do not eat like that.
Right.
They do not.
They're probably eating school lunch with those chicken finger thingies.
Oh, school lunch is terrible. And pizza. Even the lunches the parents pack, you know, you look in the lunchbox and there'll be
Lunchables.
Or 20 bags of, you know, goldfish and cereal and chips and pretzels and just all bad stuff. Anyway, I sent Ani one day with a little brick of dark chocolate.
Mm.
And when I say dark chocolate, I don't mean a Hershey's chocolate bar.
You're talking about 70% or more.
Yeah.
Cacao.
I think we had some 80% cacao, oh, right? The good stuff. And her
that is bitter.
Her teacher, whom I love, mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough good things about her.
Put it out there.
Maybe she was having a bad day. I don't know. But she told Ani, we don't eat candy in school.
Maybe she couldn't see that it was dark chocolate.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
But Ani also came home that day with a open package of Pop-Tarts. And I said, Ani, where did you get this? And she said, I didn't know you packed me snack, which of course she did because I pack her snack every day. What she meant was I wanted to try it. She didn't like it. Thank goodness. She did not like the Pop-Tart.
Oh,
but
my God, I could eat a Pop-Tart right now out of the toaster. Spread a little butter on that crunchy little backside.
As if it needs butter. You sound like my dad right now eating a buttery Pop-Tart. But the thing is, that's what they serve for snack.
Wow.
A Pop-Tart.
So they can have Pop-Tarts in class. And probably chocolate or strawberry milk.
Or Cheetos for their midday snack.
Chemical cheese Cheetos. Ugh. But they cannot have dark chocolate.
Which actually is good for you. Good for your brain. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
So I had to have a conversation with her about, you know, first of all, respecting the rules, respecting adults, but also this is the reality.
You had a conversation with Ani, not the teacher.
No, with Ani.
Oh, okay.
Because I had to also explain to her that, you know, her teacher was wrong on this account, but it's her rule. She's in charge. And we're going to respect it. However, she's wrong. That chocolate is good. Everything you ate was good. Mommy doesn't send you to school with junk.
That's right. And so, you know, and the teachers are as much a mentor as, you know, for kids as we are as parents, right?
Well, these days she's actually logging in more hours with her teachers than she is with mom and dad. When it's school week.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah. So if they're drinking sodas at lunch, that's what she's looking at.
Yeah.
Mm. If they're looking at what she's doing, they know mom's a stick in the mud. They're looking elsewhere.
That's a good one. Dark chocolate discrimination. Don't be a hater.
Hated it. Should we dive deeper?
Definitely. We definitely need to dive a little deeper. And we're going to talk about some of our mentors. Ashley, I want to hear about your mentors.
Well, we laid down some ground rules.
Okay, I got to stop you right there.
Okay.
You call me out on my misspelled words. you spelled laid, L-A-Y-E-D.
I did.
Okay,
good. Oh, my gosh. I just realized that.
Yes.
Aw.
Okay, come on. Moving on.
Well, thanks for telling everybody. Laurel and I laid down some ground rules about mentors because it could easily become about just honoring everybody that we love in our lives. Like, thank you, mom and dad.
Thank you, mommy.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Ren. Thank you, Uncle, you know, Jeffy or whatever.
My grandma.
Yeah, grandma. grandpa. All this stuff. We decided we're not mentioning our parents because then we have to go through the whole thing and make sure everyone's adequately represented. So here we go. We love you all.
Yes, we do.
Mom, dad. Everybody, thank you for being our first mentors, right?
Good job.
But we're going to talk about the mentors we encountered once we flew the coop. And if I'm going to start with PFI.
What's PFI?
I'm not saying that they're my most formative mentor, but Performance Freediving International, specifically in the very beginning, Kurt Kroc and his wife, Mandy, but also this guy named Craig Gentry were my original mentors. They're the ones who were instructing freediving and who were my instructors.
So they were your first instructors.
They taught me the ropes. And Craig, I love you, Craig. I hope you're listening to this, but he's just such a good guy. And he's the one that first encouraged me, that said, hey, Come along with us. You can do this. You know, here's my hand. Hold it. I'm going to show you the way.
Wow.
And he really did. He
That's not the same guy that gave you the tequila, was it?
Oh, my gosh. No, that's Gary Malander. If I can have an extra opportunity to tell him how mad I am at him for that. If you didn't listen to episode 8, guys, go back, listen to episode 8, and you'll understand what we're talking about.
All right.
But anyway, yeah, they taught me to dive deep and most importantly to dive safe and how to make a little coin, teaching it to others. Nice. So seeing as the direction my life took, I have to, yeah, just say, thanks, PFI. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks, Mandy. Thank you, Craig. Mwah, mwah,
mwah. Yeah. And I mean, if they hadn't have taught you how to dive safe, we wouldn't be here right now.
No.
I'd have a different co-host.
I might be dead. You're right. Wait, I'm just getting super morbid with that, Laurel.
Okay, I'm going to talk about some surfing mentors. So I have to shout out to Dustin, who first let me use a board. He moved in a block from my house, and he had an extra board. And so...
Oh, crap.
What?
Should I mention all the people that I first dove with?
Please.
Like Bruce and Colt?
No.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Stop. Okay. Anyway... So Dustin and Wilson Freshwater, my marine biologist friend, they were the first ones that got me in the water and encouraged me along the way. Wilson actually had me on a steady diet of surf films in the order he felt would best help my surfing. So he would be like, you know, okay, Laurel, you know, it's time. You really need to watch Endless Summer 2. I watched Endless Summer 2 before I watched Endless Summer because it was in the range of when I needed to learn whatever skill he was teaching me at the time. So, and the other thing that Wilson did, because he was a marine biologist, and when I asked him about the sharks, he said, you don't need to worry about them. They're not interested in you. And because he was a marine biologist, I believed him.
Oh,
so I can thank him for like not being afraid. That's big.
That is big. Probably lied to you a little bit, but...
Thank you. Thank you for lying to me.
Sometimes we need that too.
Absolutely. So the next two mentors are no longer with us, but I want to give them a shout out. The first one, Paco Strickland, was an amazing flamenco guitarist, and he was the one to first introduce me to dolphin farts.
Huh? This is a mentoring moment? Really? Or are we just reminiscing here? Because it sounds ridiculous.
Well, he would just, if there was a little crappy smell in the water or crappy smell in the air, he'd blame it on the dolphins.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you had me at a guy named Paco, who was a flamenco guitarist. That was cool enough.
But also, this guy surfed all the time. He also learned at a later age, just like I did. And he took to it, would be out there every day. I could always count on him to be out because at the first couple of years surfing, after my first 6 months, I would go out by myself regularly because I went out every day. And
sounds dangerous.
Yeah, but I could count on him to be out there generally. He would text me and he would encourage me. And if I was paddling for a wave and he didn't think I was paddling hard enough, he would yell, paddle, paddle, paddle. And now today, even as I'm paddling for a wave that I'm not so sure I can get into, I hear him. His voice in the background, paddle. So I definitely have to thank him for all the waves that I've caught that I wouldn't have caught without him screaming at me.
Good.
Let's see. Okay.
And are all your mentors surfing mentors?
No.
Okay.
But in this little segment, it is.
Okay.
So then Mike Whitmore, he was a completely different type of surfer. I'm not sure if I've ever met anyone who was as patient or zen-like waiting for a wave as Mike Whitmore. He was just one of those people who you would just see him. He would be furthest out on a longboard, but he would just be sitting there so zen and like at peace with everything in the world. And for some crazy reason, the wave would come right to him. He would catch the most perfect, biggest wave wherever he was.
He was like Yoda. He was like a surfing Jedi or something.
I think God rewarded him for his patience. I don't know, but he was somebody that always was in the flow.
He's the kind of person that you want to be just like, but you know that
I can't.
You just can't.
I just can't do it.
No, I feel the same way about these kinds of Zen people. Man, I just really want to exude that type of calmness and
Neither one of us have that.
No, I am not a prophet.
I'm a scrapper.
Yeah.
I'm more scrappy than zen-like. Okay, the last
That's mentor. Important too, right?
Yeah.
Somehow.
That's a great quality, I think.
We'll figure out why later.
And so Antonio Puente, you may have heard us refer to him as T.O. Tony.
Ah, T.O. Tony. Got it. I didn't even recognize his real name.
He is possibly the smartest person I've ever met. He never hesitates, never hesitates to poke. He's smarter than you, actually.
What?
Okay. He never hesitates to poke fun at himself to get a laugh. But first of all, Ash, you want to know what he got on the IQ test?
Holy crap. Yes.
100. You know why?
Wait, but is 100 the highest measure of the IQ test? I don't think so.
Ashley, he wrote the IQ test.
What?
He wrote the IQ test.
What are you talking about?
The test.
You mean the one on the internet that you say, I want to take the IQ test?
No, the one that they test every child in public school with.
Huh.
Yeah.
He wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, of course he got 100 then. That's exactly. He's a cheater. T.O. Tony's a cheater.
Anyway. Okay, so... go ahead. I think you wanted to talk about more serious mentors.
No, Ashley. No. I love hearing about all these surfing mentors. But I think T.O. Tony is the only one I've met. So, you know, I couldn't have a strong reaction about the other ones.
I didn't need anything from you.
I wanted to have a reaction, though. I wanted to be like, oh, really?
I don't know any of yours.
Okay. Well, yeah, you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you do. Here we go.
Let's go.
I've got freediving mentors, and we wanted to mention those because this is like a water-based podcast, but I've had many mentors throughout my life, and more recently I've had some serious spiritual mentors. I think the first time I really recognized anybody as a spiritual mentor, it was a guy named Joe Penovich. But he's the kind of guy that is no stranger to spiritual projects. You know what I mean?
You were a project.
Yeah. Like, I think he picks up all kinds of loose change and rubble flying down the street. I was a piece of loose change, you know, in his pocket. But he's always on mission.
That's cool.
You know how the Bible says, well, it says all kinds of things about how to live on mission and make disciples of everybody, basically. He's doing it all the time. He takes it very seriously. He's very literal. And so when we were coming along, Ren and me, well, especially me at this time, not so much Ren, he was taking one of our freediving classes in the Bahamas. And turns out he and his daughter were the only two that showed up.
Wow.
Which is pretty strange to have a class with only two people of it in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
But anyway, I realize now, looking back,
it was meant to be.
Yeah, with 2020 vision, that's
he knew it right off, though. He knew immediately.
Well, he's a big time surfer.
Oh, cool.
And so
I like him even better.
I was friends with this priest on the island, Father Doug, but I was not. I was real lost and kind of searching at this time. But I loved Father Doug because we would just sit on the porch and talk, you know. Anyway, so we were doing the class in one of Father Doug's little areas, and Joe started saying some stuff to the priest, you know, like to Father Doug, like, oh, yeah, but God is good, blah, blah, blah. But to me, he had that surfer mentality, and I was kind of like, this guy is totally full of it. Jeez.
What do you mean a surfing mentality?
Well, you know, I didn't
full
know.
Full of what?
He was just being a cool guy or trying to make conversation. I didn't know. You know how surfers are, Laurel. But anyway, I don't know why, I just felt really comfortable. Oh, because we were at lunch one day, sitting on top of, we climbed these rocks on the top of the Blue Hole, which is one of the most picturesque, I don't know, views in the world.
You'll have to post a picture on the website.
Oh, yeah. I could use it as our picture for this.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're up there and he just says, hey, do you mind if I pray? And I said, oh, my gosh.
He was probably feeling it, though, this beautiful place.
I think he was feeling it. I think he's always like that, though.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he was also feeling it. So somehow I got comfortable with him and I just said, you know, I was kind of thinking about going to church in the morning. Could we start class late? And that's all the bait he needed. Oh, next thing I knew, we're in his car crying. We're circled up praying in the hotel room. Ren and I, he's... You know, he's
chilly bumps. goosebumps.
Well, because they were the only two in the class, we ended up getting on his plane, flying to his house in San Salvador and spending a couple of nights there, just Ren and me and his daughter and him, wow. where we're just
immersed.
He's telling stories. Cool. He's sharing. He's got his Bible out and we cry for like 3 days.
Wow.
And after
was
that,
Ren feeling it like you were feeling it?
Ren, this was after the point when Ren told me that if I was going to be going down this path, he might leave me.
Ooh.
So yeah, this, I think Joe was the first time where he really was, he felt
open.
Something.
He was open.
Soon after that, he was spontaneously baptized. So yeah, he wow. was the Holy
like
Spirit.
Like Nacho Libre way? Cushing.
Ka-ting. His baptism story is
face
amazing.
In a dish pan. We'll
have to tell it another time, yeah. But it really is amazing. But anyway, so Joe, and then I would say after that, and after those seeds were planted and after, you know, they were watered and I started growing, I started going to the same church as you. And then mm-hmm. you became one of my spiritual mentors.
What?
Yes.
What?
I don't think you realize it. When I was getting baptized, I told one of my girlfriends, I'm getting baptized, and mm-hmm. she immediately made me feel very insecure about this baptism.
Uh-oh.
Like it was not supposed to happen, or I needed to be very, very, very sure that I'm ready. And so
nothing
after that,
put the fear of God in you, like some statement like that.
I'm telling you, I was so nervous. You are going to be the bride of Christ. Are you ready for that? I'm like, oh my God, do I even know what that
no.
means? So I told you about it because you just came up to me and asked, hey, what's going on? And I said, well, I'm supposed to get baptized later today, but I'm real nervous now.
I think I remember you saying, I don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I didn't think this person was going to drive me away from my baptism. And you encouraged me and you said, oh my gosh, no, 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 no. That's wrong, basically. And after that, we started spending some time together, and I became one of your little projects.
You were not my project. I just thought you were cool. I just wanted to hang out with your cool stuff.
Well, for whatever reason, it worked because I just got a lot out of, well, I'm still getting a lot out of our friendship.
Oh, me too. Me too.
You don't have to say that just because I said you.
Okay, never mind.
You don't have to say that. Well, I was going to mention Ren, too, even though we're not supposed to mention our spouses.
Oh, gosh.
Can I just say one thing about him?
Yes.
I don't want to bore the crap out of everybody, but I'm a talker.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come up. We'll have a brainstorm. Sorry. We'll have a brainstorming session, and I'll talk it to death. And
wait, they gave her the microphone at church to give announcements past Sunday, and she, I think, offended every man in the church because they're all going bald, and she made some comment about being up on the stage and being able to see
their bald spots.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought it was funny, but did my energy come off during the announcement?
I thought it was awesome.
Because Brian did tell me that he thought the music in the background may have been bringing my energy level down.
Oh, was it down? No.
I don't know. Huh. You tell me. I was up there just trying not to poop my pants, you know?
I was entertained, so I'm not sure what I was supposed to be.
All right. That's what I was going for. Well.
Okay, Ren.
Yeah, the mic can be dangerous for me. Anyway, I'll just talk.
Sit in front of Mike.
I'll keep talking and planning and planning. Excuse me, but maybe not take action. But Ren's the first one that taught me to just throw the lines off the dock, pull up the anchors and go. And sometimes you got to figure that junk out along the way. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. I remember when we were talking about moving on to a sailboat, I was thinking, okay, well, in a few years, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, we bought one.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a do it person. And I'm a talk about it person. So I really like that he brings more of that into my life.
That's cool. Then I'll say about Don, because obviously we're not opposites, but we're very different.
Yeah.
I'm a talker. I'm like, you know, he's very calm, soothing, a little Mike Whitmore-esque as far as zen-like.
He's totally zen-like.
But he definitely grounds me. Yeah. And so like last night, for instance, we don't know what we're having for dinner. There was some leftover rice and fish. The fish was not good anymore. Yeah. So then we were, and so I was like, you take the pork chop and broccoli and I'll just find something. Oh, wait, I'll just do popcorn. Never mind. And he's like, wait a minute. He's like, what's in the crisper? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. Oh, there's some lettuce. And he's like, how about we slice off a little bit of the pork chop and we'll make a little taco and you can put the pork. I mean, like, I would have eaten popcorn for dinner. And I would have been happy about the popcorn for dinner. But he slowed my roll. You know, he gave me like an opportunity to have a healthy, nourishing meal that I would have just been moving too fast to even think of.
So. Yeah. Sometimes you just go to the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and Dawn says, well, we've got this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Me too. Me too. I love that dude.
Uh-huh. We love you, Dawn.
Yeah. Dawn's the best.
You got anybody else you want to talk about, or should we?
I think we need to. What do you think?
Yeah, let's move into some God waters.
Okay.
Tread on over. What do you think?
Yeah. Okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. I would like to read Luke again, chapter 10, verses 1 through 9.
Thinking of
Jesus as the great mentor, right? So the Lord now chose 70 other disciples and sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit later. These were his instructions to them. Plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers to help you, for the harvest is so plentiful and the workers so few. Go now and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you or a beggar's bag, or even an extra pair of shoes, and don't waste time along the way. Whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. If it is worthy of the blessing will stand. If not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a village, don't shift around from home to home, but stay in one place, eating and drinking without questions, whatever is set before you, and don't hesitate to accept hospitality, for the workman is worthy of his wages. If a town welcomes you, follow these two rules. Eat whatever is set before you, heal the sick, and as you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is very near you now. What do you think about that, Ash?
Oh, my gosh. You do that. You didn't even write it in our show notes, so I have to.
I like to spring it on you.
Okay, so mentors, let's see. He was very specific in his instructions.
Yeah.
I love, I love throughout the ministry aspect when Jesus is teaching his disciples to be disciples and to do his work. He's always talking about healing the sick and feeding the poor, healing the sick, feeding the poor. He is always about action.
Yes. Yes.
He's never saying talk them to death about how great God is.
No.
He's telling them heal the. What does his instruction say? Heal the sick, then do what?
Heal the sick, and as you heal them, say the kingdom of God is very near you now.
Okay, so he doesn't talk about God and then heal them. He heals them.
Yeah.
He shows them the love. He shows them the action, and then he whispers into their ear about the kingdom.
And you know, one thing I liked about this is. Like that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves.
I got a funny story, but go ahead.
Well, I kind of think about we're supposed to go out vulnerable, like a lamb. Like a lamb is hunted, mm-hmm. right? A mm-hmm. lamb is never safe unless there's a shepherd.
Lamb is prey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so are we being vulnerable with others when we share God? Because I think often we just want to say, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Instead of maybe sharing some of your testimony or some of where you were all effed up and how God changed your life, how God changed your wants, how God changed your desires, how God changed your life from being empty to full. You're pointing at me. They can't see that, but you're pointing at me.
I'm saying, hey, my turn. Did we talk about this in 8 where we were talking about relationships?
Just a minute ago?
we recorded 2. Today we recorded 2.
We were talking about the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, well, we were talking about relationships either episode 8 or beginning of this one. And that just goes back to that concept where, you know, you are made also to be in relationship with each other and encourage each other. And that doesn't happen with a one-way street.
Yeah.
It happens with a dialogue between two people that need each other and that can feed each other. Oh, like you and the guy, the people at Harmony?
Harbor.
Harbor, sorry.
Harbor.
At Harbor.
So is it time to move on to the homework? Have we
Should I
that
tell
out?
The funny story about the sheep and the wolf?
Yes.
Quick?
Yes.
Okay, real quick, because I recycle this all the time. And so we were living, we had just sold one of our sailboats. We just bought Jade, our current sailboat, and she was in a total state of disrepair. And Ren was working basically full time.
Oh, I bet.
On this boat. So we moved into
a
little.
He's so smart, though. He can fix all that stuff.
Oh, he's a Renaissance man. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
So is Dawn. Sorry. Okay.
It's not like Donaissance. It's Renaissance. Okay.
Good
so anyway.
One. Good one.
Yeah. We were living in basically this old fishing shack right on this little creek that was on the property of some friends that lived right there, Tony and Ella.
You were squatting.
We were squatting. And we all had kids the same age, though. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a girl that was a little older than Ani. She was 3, I think, and Ani was 1. And so I remember the girls were going to go play outside a little bit. And Ren, who is a little too trusting sometimes when it comes to kids, he's kind of like, oh, they've got this.
Yeah.
He says to Malia, who's 3 at the time, Malia, keep an eye on Ani, will ya? And Tony, Malia's dad, said, oh, yeah. Go ahead, Wolf. Watch these sheep for me. I love it, though. I love that. I use it all the time. So, okay, about the homework.
Okay, homework. I think it might be a nice idea to reach out to a mentor, whether it's recent or long ago, that led you in a good direction, whether it was professionally or spiritually or whatever. Reach out and touch them. Tell them thank you. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
This is warm, fuzzy, easy homework. I love that.
Well, yeah, but I think it could be, how many times maybe have you been a mentor and not even known that it meant something to someone?
No, I'm never a mentor, yeah.
No. And I think it would be, sometimes, you know, everybody can get discouraged in life. And so I think what a neat thing to be able to bring back to remembrance this person and what they did for you. And I just want to call out to my friend, Kristen.
The newbie.
Formerly known to y'all as the newbie. I have to say that the last 2 sessions that I've been out with her, not only was she making badass turns, but she caught more waves than me. Yeah. Big faux pas.
So shame on her.
Right. From now on, she has earned the title Young Grasshopper.
The student becomes the teacher.
The student becomes the master.
No, wait a minute.
But also that she's a mentor of mine. You know, like, I think we mentor each other, but she has a great honesty about her that is refreshing and I admire.
Maybe we should have her on as a guest sometime.
Yes, absolutely.
Whenever the subject matter is fitting, she may even be our first interviewee.
That would be awesome. I hope you're listening, Kristen.
Yeah, and if you're not, Laura will shame you for not listening.
How many times have I asked you, have you listened to our podcast yet?
Is she listening?
Oh, she's listened to like 1. And I was like, wait a minute. You haven't listened to all of them? She said, then the next time I said, she goes, yeah, I listened to them on the way, your second one on the way to the farm. I was like, well, what did you listen to on the way back?
Well, I love your how pushy you can be. Yeah. I want to tell you, Wendy has listened, my friend Wendy, for all of you out there who don't know. Listen to How to Pick Up Chicks, and that's all you need to know about Wendy. She binge listened to all of them.
Wow, you have really loyal friends.
That's right. So step it up, young grasshopper, Kristen, especially if you want to be on the show.
Yeah.
All right, Laurel. Thank you all for listening. Please go to postsessionpodcast.com.
Leave us a comment.
Tell us what you like. Tell us what you didn't like. You can also leave comments wherever you listen to the podcast. Apple Podcasts.
Stitcher. CastBox.
Wherever.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have the Patreon page. If you're really into this thing, you can
support us.
Yeah. Help
and
us
get some cool little prizes.
Ooh, yeah. Go to the Patreon page and read about the freebies, which are not really freebies because you pay for them inadvertently by supporting us. Also, audible.com gives us a little kickback if you sign up for a free trial. So that's at no expense to you.
And if you listen to this at the right moment, you could be one of the people who attend our podcast launch on Friday, December 6th
yes.
at Fermental, where there will be a food truck and a live music and drink specials, and where you can enter by downloading one of our podcasts into a raffle where you could win 3-night stay in Rincon, Puerto Rico, or a 2-night stay on a trimaran sailboat in Wrightsville Beach.
Yeah, so come to the launch party to subscribe there and get entered for those.
Yeah, have a good time with us.
All right, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.